Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Leamington Hour podcast with me, Gary Jones. I hope you've all had a fantastic week and I have lined up a corker of a podcast for you to listen to today. Now today's guest is the one and only Rachel Wade and her company is OptHR, who deals with HR issues in companies, and this is a lady who knows exactly where she's going. She's not had an easy time the past couple of years, but she's focused all her energy into helping people, and do you know what? She's an inspiration. Now, if you want to get on a podcast, it's dead easy. We'll give you a little snippet of how to do it later, but here's part one of mine and Rachel's interview where we talk about her passions, her background, and how she got into HR. So let's take a break with part one. So I'm joined now with Rachel Wade, who is the woman behind OptHR, and I think we met about a year. No, it was about 6 months ago,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Around that time. Yeah, about beginning of the year.
Yeah, and it's been a massively big year for you, hasn't it? It's been huge.
Yes.
So thank you very much for joining us, and
thank you.
Let people know a little bit about what you do and who you are.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm born and bred in Coventry.
Cool.
Went to school in Coventry, and I was born in the late 60s, so that gives a slight of a game away on my age there. And I guess it's been challenging at times. I've had a lovely home family and lots of love, even though we didn't have a lot, and a very working class family, we always had a lot of fun.
Cool.
I have great memories of camping holidays, even in the Ret, in the British summer that we have. Unlike today, my mum and dad were always there to support me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back, I guess I feel that I had strong women around me.
Yep.
And as role models, they would do their best for the families and with what little they had. So my grandmother, my mother, my aunties. But I didn't have anybody that had careers. Nobody went to a university. Nobody went off into high-powered jobs, especially women.
Mm.
So I guess I kind of had to find my own way and find my own story.
Mm.
School was quite challenging for me. The bullies would always seem to find me for some strange reason. Mm. That made me dislike school and couldn't wait to leave pretty much as soon as I could, actually. But that didn't deter me, and I've always been a woman of very strong substance and determination and drive, and always knew I wanted something better, but I didn't know what that was.
Okay.
So I was still on that journey to find whatever that would be.
Cool.
I became a mum at a young age, so I've got a beautiful daughter, Sam, who's 29 now.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very proud of her achievements. And I've got a gorgeous granddaughter, Ruby, who was 5 on Saturday.
Oh.
And she just lights up my world. She's totally amazing and makes me realise what life's really about and what's important. So they're my family and they mean a lot to me. So having a daughter at 17 was very challenging. That was back in the 80s. And there was still quite a stigmatism then of being a young mum and being an unmarried mum. But I was very determined about the sort of life I wanted to give my daughter.
Mm.
So I did everything that I could to support her. And it was then when I got into my mid-20s, I thought, I need and want a career. My daughter by this time was looking forward to going to secondary school. So that's when I felt I could then invest more in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I retrained. I went and worked in an office for 3 months for free. So I'd have that experience of working in an office. So I could sell that when I went to interviews. And then quite soon after that, I secured my first administration job at 26. And that's what gave me the insight to HR, this world of HR and training people. It was in a training organisation.
Sure.
So my career progressed quickly there from administrator to leading as being a training advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was assessing MBQs in the workplace and placing people into jobs. And that's when I got more of an appetite for this HR-y stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when I moved on then to PowerGen, it was then. But it's now E.ON. And that's where really my career took off. I studied my CIPD, which is a HR degree, over 3 long, torturous years studying away, but managed to get my qualification, which was fantastic and a great achievement. So I'm very proud of that. And then really built my career until in my last role I was HR director for a global business.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite a meaty role, very challenging. And it sounds amazing to be on a plane every 2 weeks in different countries, but it's really not that sexy.
No.
So I was missing my family, missing my friends, missing me time really, I guess. So the company I worked for 4 years was restructuring last summer, and I came to one of those crossroads in life. And I thought, do I want to take another job like this and be away from home? or is now the right time to do my thing, start my own business? And it was something I always wanted to do, but I thought it would be pre-retirement, and I'm slightly off from that yet. So, well, I started to put things in motion, and I spoke to a lot of people, understood what I needed to do. But during the course of that happening, so I pretty much lost my job. Thinking about starting a new job, I had two surgical operations, which were not life-threatening, but things that needed to happen, but pretty much wiped me out for a bit. And I ended a long-term relationship that meant a lot to me, but the guy wouldn't commit. So when I look back to...
That's a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, yeah. I must have been crazy to do all that, but I must have been ready for a good clear-out, I don't know. So, so that was pretty hard to go through all that and then still keep focused on... starting my own business. I've got a mortgage like everybody else, so I didn't really have loads of savings behind me, so I used my redundancy package really to help me start my business off and talk to as many people as I could, and as you know, went networking. I became a social networker, stalking everybody. So I would meet you and other people that would be great inspiration for me and really made me believe in myself. Because I think starting your own business, I think that's where it starts, in what is your purpose? What is my why? Why am I doing this? Because it's not going to be easy by any means. The easy option would be to get a job. And I didn't want to get a job. So to keep on and living my dream, I just needed to keep going. And I think coming to networking events, it feels like you're getting out, you're meeting people, you're re-engaging. And I think I feed off other people. So when I'm meeting other like-minded people that are highly energised. And I think you remember when I did a foresight recently at 4N, I referred to you all as my kind of weirdo.
Yes, you did, yes. That was at the Leamington Breakfast about a month ago.
About a month ago, because that's what I feel. I feel finally... I'm not the alien in the room.
No.
You know, I'm with people that accept me.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm able to be me, be authentic. I don't have to hide behind anything else. And I never really felt I could do that in the corporate world.
No.
You've got to play the political game. So, for once in my life, I actually feel free. Because I did even question whether HR was for me, even though I'd invested 20 years of my life in growing my career, get my qualification. I started to doubt that was my purpose in life. But then through this process, I really believe that is.
So what is your why? So what is your driving force?
My why is because I love to help people.
Okay.
And I love to be around people. I feel that even through my, I guess, my direct approach, my pragmatic approach, when everybody else is losing their head and we've got a problem to solve and nobody knows what we're going to do, I can quite easily wheedle that down and just look at the solutions and help people and hold their hand through it. Tell them it's going to be okay. Let's go on this journey together. We've got an issue. We're going to solve it. This is what we've got to do. Trust me. So I like to work very closely with people to try and partner with some of those problems.
Oh, cool. So you really are all about helping people. That's a big key message. So it would have been really, as you said, it would have been really easy to get another job.
Yes.
You know, at that point.
Yeah.
But you decided against it, and a lot of people probably listen to the show, or a few people might be in that same circumstances, that they're in a job that they might like, they might hate.
Yeah.
But actually, they've got a thought in the back of their mind, should I do it, should I not? Should they?
Yeah, you've got to take the leap of faith, you know, and my advice would be meet as many people that are doing it, you know, people that are at networking events, people through Leamington Hour, they're all doing it, they've all got their story, listen to their stories, because they'll inspire you as well.
So who did you speak to during kind of that consultation period? I suppose you can, could you call it a consultation period?
I mean, I really investigated everything. I wanted to know the good, the bad, the ugly.
So let's put it into a kind of a timeline. Yeah. When was that?
So that was pretty much probably last, I'd say August, September time.
Okay.
So I went and found a couple of HR consultants that were doing it, and they were fantastic. They didn't have to be, but they were very open with me, answered a lot of my questions around what I needed to do. And then again, I went to networking events so I could try this out, this different world, because it is a very different world.
Oh, too right.
And listen to people's stories and understand. And there were a few negative comments. So somebody did say to me, how long are you going to give it? And I said, well, forever. This is it. I've made my choice.
Yeah.
And there's some people that go, oh, the first year in business is going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. And I'm like, I'm not listening to that.
No.
Because it can't be terrible, because that's not why I've done this.
No.
You know, I've done this so I can have freedom in my life.
Yeah.
Freedom in my choices. I choose who I want to work with.
Yeah.
And how and when I work. So yeah. To have all that flexibility,
it can't be bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad. The only things, I guess, some days is it can be quite alone, but that's why I encourage people to network.
Yeah.
Because that really solves that problem. And some days you may think, well, I've finished this piece of client work, where's my next one coming from? But it always comes. You've just got to keep the faith, keep believing. Keep believing in what you do, and keep believing in what you do is what your why I'm here, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And know that you're the best person to do that. You're an expert in your field,
mm-hmm.
and keep believing that. Because the moment you stop believing that, that's when you'll stop doing business.
No, that's perfect.
So.
I think we're going to end it there for part one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about your products and a bit about your industry. Is that all right?
Okay, great.
Cool. Nice. If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones, but mainly let me know about your story, let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's carry on with part two of this cracking interview with me and Rachel. We're back now for part two. So during the break, we were talking about some of the common mistakes people make mm-hmm. with HR.
Yep.
And you mentioned two points in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind just telling the listeners of Radio Warwickshire, you know, some of the common mistakes people make?
Yeah, I think the common mistake that employers make is not taking notice of an issue when it arises early.
Yeah.
And the best thing would be to nip that in the bud. Quite often they'll ignore that, won't see it as important, but obviously it's important to the employee.
Yeah.
That can quickly escalate into becoming a bigger problem. And sometimes it gets to the point where they've got to involve a lawyer. And as soon as you involve a lawyer, that's when it becomes a lot more time-consuming, but a lot more costly, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So what we want to try and do is avoid that, mm-hmm. avoid those areas of conflict in the workplace, and ultimately avoid going to a tribunal. So that's one there. And then another one is employers can quite often become over-consumed because there's a lot of information out there.
Yeah, Google's best friend, but also worst enemy, isn't
exactly.
it, really?
Yep. So as an employee owner or somebody who employs people, if you do the start Googling, you'll become across all this different stuff and you'll become paralysed because you just won't know which things you have to do. So that's why it's important to engage with a specialist or an expert who can give you the right guidance and advice. And it's not as scary as it seems.
No.
A lot of it is common sense and quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess really employers have responsibilities. So it's about understanding your responsibilities mm-hmm. when you employ a person.
And it's from day one.
Day
not
one.
Not even
no.
beforehand.
No, some common myths are, well, I'll wait till I've got 5 employees because I have to do something. Well, day one of employment, if you're somebody is giving their time, their technical skills, and mm-hmm. you're paying them, that's it. Employment law starts then.
Cool. Okay. Is there any other kind of common mistakes that people make, or are they the main two? I'm sure there's loads out there.
Yeah. Well, it's where then that there are employment laws in place. For instance, when you have a grievance in, there's a certain step process that you have to take.
Sure.
And if you don't follow that step process, if it did go to a tribunal, the judge will just throw the book at you. Because there is a process in place, it's a statutory requirement, it's all up there on the ACAS website, so everybody's there, it's transparent.
Yeah.
So if it's an employee, if you're not doing it, that's when you'll come to harm.
Okay, no, that's cool. I'm sure HR is probably a dark kind of dark word in some organisations with loads of different connotations.
Mm.
In terms of OptHR, what kind of products and services do you offer people?
Yeah, okay. So what I like to do is build a good relationship with the customer that I'm working with. So really understand that business. And for me, really understand how they operate. What is it they do? You know, make widgets or whatever it might be. What are the processes involved and what are the people involved?
Sure.
And how the dynamics of their business is organised. But also understanding their culture. You know, where are the boundaries? How do they like to operate? Some businesses like to be really flexible and open with their staff.
Yeah.
Others like to be very rigid and structured. We've got a start time, a lunch time, an end time. So it's just understanding that. How do they like to operate?
Yeah.
And then what I like to do with them is then translate the needs of their business. So it's not driven by HR. What does HR in the employment employment law tellers. First, I understand the business, and then I can translate those business needs into ways they manage their people.
Gotcha.
So that would be the way that they hire their people, the way they do recruitment, mm-hmm. just to make sure, again, that they're abiding by the laws that are in place, because yeah. employment law starts with recruiting people, and not a lot of people seem to realise that.
Yeah.
And the same when you go through and manage people in the workplace, you know, translating, again, the needs of your business first, that's a priority, mm-hmm. but what do we need to consider from a HR employment capacity, and then we put that in place.
Gotcha. Okay. And can you do that over a course of telephone calls, or do you get your yep. hands dirty and go into the business itself?
Yep.
Or what kind of way works best for you and your clients?
Yeah. For me, I love to meet face to face because okay. I'm a people person. So I like to come and see you. I like to come and see your business because I can feel it then. What, yeah. Whatever you tell me then about your business, I can look around and I get a sense of that. So that's yeah. really helpful to me, and I think it's helpful to, for you. So you get to know me. You get okay. to gain then trust, because that's really important. With your HR partner, you want to have trust in that relationship. You know, we could get through some sticky situations with the employment law, but you've got to trust me that what I'm advising you is the right thing to do. Mm. So I think if we meet, that really starts that process off.
Makes sense.
But I'm also there at the end of the phone. If someone thinks, well, I've got this absence issue, which has happened a few times recently, I just don't know what I should be doing. Because it says on the sick note, stress. As soon as we see stress, alarm bells start ringing.
yeah.
And again, for an employer, they don't want to touch it, but they can touch it. And yeah. it's me telling them the way that they can do it and the way that they should do it. So I'm quite happy to be on the end of the phone, to be coaching and directing yeah. them of what they need to do and supporting them by giving them some documentation to follow. Or I'm quite happy to come in and play much more of a part with them in their business. So the services I offer are either ad hoc, like I've said,
yep.
or on a retained basis where I'm your trusted HR business partner. Mm-hmm. I'm literally working with you every single day, but you yep. just don't see me every single day. So I would probably come to your business once a month, and yep. we would have a structured approach of how we'd approach the things in your business, whether mm-hmm. it be time for pay review or appraisals, or you're looking at some sort of incentivization for your staff. Mm-hmm. So we'd build work together to decide what that would be, so it wouldn't be any time wasted. Very proactive.
Cool. That's good. And have you got any kind of main parts of HR that you really love doing?
Oh wow, gosh. So I've been a generalist for pretty much all of my career, so there's not an aspect of HR that I haven't touched.
Okay.
Touched HR and payroll and benefits, employee benefits, mm-hmm. and the way that we design our organisations. But I guess really the things that always seem to land on my desk, and I quite enjoy them, are the employee relations.
Sure.
So those are the things of managing the day-to-day operational stuff, people being off sick, people breaking the rules of the company, mm-hmm. Whether they be on the health and safety or the procedures. And we need to then have a conversation. If they keep doing it, we have a disciplinary process we've got to follow. Mm-hmm. So it's all that kind of employee relations, disciplinary grievance, that kind of stuff. But then the other side that I really enjoy and has been probably a big part of my career is project management. So it's managing the start to the finish of a project.
Okay.
So that could be the design of a new appraisal tool that we're going to use, or it could be we're implementing a HR system, or it could be we're going to upskill all of our managers so they become stronger, competent, mm-hmm. confident, which is key, people yep. managers.
Okay. And it's all around the people.
All around the people.
Just sound like you, all around the people. You know, in the part one, you were talking about your drivers, about mm-hmm. helping people. Mm-hmm. It just seems like that always reverts back to that.
Yeah.
And I find it so refreshing, because everything you're doing is around
yeah.
that side of it.
Yeah.
At this point in the interview, I always ask everybody to give the part one golden nugget. Now,
yeah.
this is one bit of advice you'd give to a person, an organisation, or whoever it could be
yeah.
that could help them go forward. So yeah. what would be your golden nugget?
For me, it would be to take advice early.
Okay.
Yeah, don't ignore the problem. Take advice early from somebody who's technically competent, not a mate down the pub, not a lawyer that deals with something that's not employment law. So get advice early, but from the right person.
Sure.
And that will usually help you squash the issue mm-hmm. early, or deal with it quickly and early. So I always guarantee we'll get straight to the heart of the issue, solving the problem, which would save you time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do that, it will solve the problem, and you won't have this big thing, this big monstrous thing that's keeping you up all night, and it's
yeah.
going to probably cost you more time, it's going to take you away from delivering the day-to-day stuff in your business, and it's probably going to cost you a lot more money.
And do you find that quite often?
Yes, quite often it will get to the point where I've come in and it's a step too late.
Oh.
If they'd only called me maybe a month or two earlier, we probably wouldn't be in the position we are now.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean that I won't help them and I can navigate them through it. It just means a lot more work by everybody
yeah.
involved.
So just to break it down a bit more, why do people wait too long?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, if I only knew that.
I don't know. Is it pride? Is it just don't know?
I think it's because all managers and all businesses, they're driven by their operational needs.
Yeah.
So ultimately, they're delivering what their business needs and what their clients needs. So that will be their focus. I think quite ultimately, they forget that their people are behind that. So if they're not dealing with the things that are challenged or troubled by their people, ultimately it's going to impact on their customers and their delivery of their business.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know what the reason is, but I think every day, we all know, we go into work, we have our list of things to do, and we're always driven by what our clients and what our business needs. Mm-hmm. And then whatever comes second to that is usually our people or even ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Just being nosy. Just being nosy, because it's one of those things where sometimes the golden nugget is actually just a symptom of a deeper issue.
Yeah, well, sometimes they just don't know. They just don't realise and they just don't know. You know, quite often smaller companies haven't come across these problems before, so it could be the first time they're dealing with it. You know, businesses that have started up recently and employing people, that comes with a lot of challenges. So, so quite a lot of the time it will be the lack of their understanding from that point of view.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Now, if someone wants to get hold of you on social media, websites, contact details, how would they?
Yep, so I'm all over social media.
Yep.
If you haven't seen me by now, why not? You're obviously not looking on social media. So I'm on Twitter, so that's OptHR Limited.
Sure.
And I've also got a personal Twitter as well, so that's Rachel OptHR. I've also got a website, so that's www.opthr.co.uk. Mm-hmm. You can also get me by email, so that's inquiries@opthr.co.uk. And you can find all my contact details on there as well.
That's perfect. Have you got anything to add as your last closing point?
No, it's been a delight to speak to you and share with you my story and more about my business, OptHR. And I'd welcome anybody, if they just want to pick up the phone and have a chat, something that's troubling them, then that's perfectly fine. Nothing charges at that point in time, so I'm happy to give some free tips and advice out.
Right, perfect. Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Now, I hope you really enjoyed that interview. Please connect with her on Twitter, Facebook, if you want to. Now, at the end of every interview, obviously, I try to get a little bit of extra podcast, a few little more golden nuggets off the person who I'm interviewing. Rachel, well, she's just got loads. So let's hear what her top tips are. In this podcast extra, we're just going to be talking about Rachel's three top tips that she's going to give to anybody. So, Rachel, fire away. What would be your top tip number one?
Yep. So my top tip number one is, sometimes people ask me, if I had my time again in starting my own business, would I have done things differently?
Mm-hmm.
And I have reflected on that, and I'd probably say the answer is no.
Okay.
So I didn't have a lot of time to prepare myself for leaving the world of employment and then to start my own business. But I kind of look at it in a way, well, if I'd had 10 weeks to do that or 4 weeks to do that, I would have done it anyway.
Got you.
Because I've got the determination to do that. And by having that determination, it was the self-belief.
Sure.
And again, believing in my why, of why I wanted to do it.
Okay.
So I wouldn't do anything differently. And no. I always believe in life, it's a story. So that was part of the story there and then. And then the other thing, I guess, point number two, would be mistakes happen.
Okay.
And don't feel guilty about it. Don't dwell on it too much. I think it would be good to reflect on it and always take something learning from it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to learn a lot in our lives, and especially in business. And you start out, you're going to have a lot of those things that come up against you. But just to understand what went wrong, if it went wrong, why, and how could I do it differently next time. I think
Makes sense. Important.
Mistakes are all part of learning. If we never made a mistake, we'd never move forward and we'd never learn something else. So that's important. And then point number three, I think, is seek help from others. Starting your own business, it can feel very isolating. And with networking, there's people out there. And people are so warm and giving, and they'd be happy just to have a conversation with you. They may not have the direct answer, but they can guide you in the right place to go. If it's not them, it could be somebody else that they know. And it may come to a point where you'll have another conversation and you'll have to decide whether you invest in that, whether that be on your time or a monetary factor that you need to invest. But there's always help out there. There's always someone who's got the answer. You just have to ask.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Wow, what a podcast. Thank you so much, Rachel, for that absolutely honest interview. I loved it. And the one thing I really love is hearing people's stories and hearing where they want to go. And Rachel, you are an inspiration. Keep on going. You are a fighter and you will go places. Thank you. Now, if you missed this podcast or if you want to get on a podcast, then just let me know. Use the hashtag on Twitter, LimitedNowOurPodcast. It's now available on iTunes, so it's even better for you to get involved with it. Now, the next show is going to be next week. I have got an absolutely inspirational guy on here called Simon Perkin. Hope you have a good week, everyone, and I'll see you next time. Take it easy.